infinity and beyond.
He's live. He's nationwide. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
All right, welcome back inside the New Orleans Convention Center. Zach Gelb here with you. It's Friday at Radio Row, and I feel like this is a tradition each and every year where we're talking about now Andy Reid in a big game. So we welcome on one of our favorites in Donovan McNabb. Number five, how you been?
Man, I'm doing outstanding. How's everything? I mean, you know, Media Row gets a little busy. Friday, it looks like it's dying down a little bit. It looks like everybody's trying to get up out of here. So I'm just happy to be a part of it.
I think a big conversation in this game is Jalen Hurts. And I think a lot of people go, oh, this is a game where he could earn a lot of people's respect. I don't understand the constant bashing. And I know this annoys you. That's why I'm asking it to you.
Yeah.
I don't get this conversation with Hurts. All the guy does is win.
And it really just kind of confuses me every now and then. But people have their own opinions, and they want to talk, or they want to, you know, gripe about different things. But I look at it in a sense, the guy's doing what it takes to win the football game. Yeah, is it great numbers? If it's 400 yards passing, you know, throwing 50 passes a game. No, that's not what they need from him. They need him to be, you know, efficient. They run the football. They play great defense. And they win by scoring, 24 points. Like, is it great? No, it's not great, but it's efficient, and it helps right now. And so what do they need to do in the Super Bowl? And that's protect the football, that's move the chains, eat up clock, be balanced in their play calling, and at the end of it, again, win the game.
And here's the funny part, because I'm talking to you. In Philadelphia, you didn't always have a bevy of weapons, and people would usually hold that against you.
Mm-hmm.
And now Jalen Hurts has too many weapons. It's almost as if you just can't win as a quarterback.
You never have too many. You never have too many weapons. Now, when you do have an array of, you know, weaponry, so to speak, you know, someone's going to take a hit. You know, someone's not going to get the ball as much. Somebody's going to be her opportunities in a game is not going to be there, and then all of a sudden it becomes a conversation, and then they say something that triggers everybody. Oh, well, there's beef, and, you know, they don't like each other. You know, it's always something. But I think in a situation that's comparable to, you know, mine and them, I didn't have the A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, you know, the Dallas Geider, the Saquon Barkley. Like, you know, the guys that we had were very effective with what they were asked to do. And we won. So they're doing the same thing that we were doing, just with a little bit more selection.
Talking to Donovan McNabb right now. So Andy Reid, right, beloved in Philadelphia.
Right.
And now he has three Super Bowls. And also Andy Reid has beat the Eagles once in the big game.
Right.
If he does that twice now, do you think the way that people view Andy and Philly, if they beat the Eagles twice, is going to change?
Meaning in a negative way?
In terms of, right, you would agree that everyone loves Andy Reid for the most part now in Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
I just wonder if he does it now to the Eagles twice, it's like, man, we love our ex. It was an amicable divorce, but eventually you don't want to see them dating someone that's better than you, you know?
But I mean, the respect for Andy is sky high. And the funny thing is, you know, yes, he's the Kansas City Chiefs coach, but he also is, he's one of ours. And he got his start in Philadelphia, and he's the all-time winningest coach in Philadelphia. So I don't think that anything would turn negative if he wins this game against the Philadelphia Eagles. People truly love Andy, and they should. Because he's the one that kick-started this whole winning vibe and winning energy
culture
in Philadelphia. He's the one that got that going. And so it was a decade since 99 that got us back to relevancy. And everybody's riding the wave.
Were you surprised that Eli Manning didn't make the Hall of Fame last night?
Yes and no. Yes, because he's a Manning. He does have two Super Bowls, and then, you know, they like to always talk about you know, how many Super Bowls does he have, or how many championships has he won, you know, how many times has he been all pro. You know, he's put up a run, two runs that, you know, people can look at and say it's historic. So I'm surprised in that aspect. I'm not surprised because you look at his numbers aren't great. Like, yes, he's like an Iron Man. He played for so long, didn't miss games or whatever it may be. But his numbers aren't that great, you know.
Do you think you were a better quarterback than Eli?
Yes.
So yes. What would you say to voters? Because you haven't really ever got a Hall of Fame push.
what do I say to voters? Vote me in. you know, it's just and that's the thing is, the conversation is always, how many times was he all pro? Or how many times did he win the Super Bowl? Or how many times did he play in the Super Bowl? There are a lot of people who never played a playoff game. There are a lot of people who never been to conference championships. Never people made Super Bowls. But again, they're very selective in what they ask for certain people. And, you know, it's one that you just can't control, and you just sit back and wait. I'm happy that Eric Allen got an opportunity to get in. It was a long time coming, and, you know, I'm happy for him. Sterling as well. Sterling's a guy, when I first retired, that was, me and him worked together at NFL Network. And, you know, he's a great guy. Jared Allen, a guy I played with in Minnesota. So happy for him getting in. So it's just, it's exciting for me because I've got ties to guys always getting in, and I'm just chilling.
and we know, you know how to chill well.
I'm just chilling.
Is Mahomes the greatest quarterback or the most talented quarterback you've ever seen?
Most talented? No.
Who is?
Is he? Randall, Warren, you know, I've seen great quarterbacks play. You know, Aaron, I've seen Tom, Peyton, I've seen him. But does that mean that he can't be? Yes, that doesn't mean that. But I will say this. I can't call him the greatest quarterback of all time until he can get 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 years under his belt. Because this is a run early, and he's only been in the league 8 years. You know, it's hard to say he's the greatest of all time. Now, he would do great things winning again to help his cause, but it's kind of early right now.
Is it at all tough for you to watch the Chiefs just because of how synonymous you were with Andy and now seeing that connection that they have?
Believe me, it's not tough. They're fun to watch. They're fun to watch. And, you know, I just love the evolution of where Andy's offense is, you know, because no one really – you've never really heard the term in the last 5 to 7 years, West Coast offense, have you?
No.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the evolution of Andy's offense, remember, it started with the West Coast offense, and now it's almost like arena league offense. Like, the way motions and movement and everything that they're doing
it's
now.
It's a different version.
It's crazy.
What they did at the Super Bowl, and you had the two guys, one going that way, and both were open. It was wild.
But that's what I'm saying. It's the evolution of where the game is.
I don't even know what to call it, honestly.
Seriously. Like, I mean, and it's almost – it's almost like everybody's running.
I call it effing ball.
An extended version of what we seen the greatest show on turf with Mike
Kurt Warner,
McCarthy.
Mike Martz.
Mike Martz. It's an extension of that now because you know what he was doing with all those guys. It was like motions, movement, you know, shifts and everything. It's like, oh, okay, now everybody's doing it. So it's interesting to watch.
Last thing I'll ask you. If Andy keeps, I'm assuming he could coach for like 3 to 5 more years. If he wins a few more Super Bowls, could he go down as the greatest coach of all time over Belichick?
Yes.
Why so?
Because if he goes another, let's say 3 to 5 years, he wins 2 more Super Bowls. So that would mean.
That put him at 5, Bill has 6.
But that would mean in this era, and you got to look at numbers-wise, for the years of what Patrick has been in the league. At that time, you're talking 11 years. 11, 12 years of being in the league. Drastic numbers from his quarterback. Going to win 2 more Super Bowls. I mean, whatever happens in this game, in that period of time, he will go down as the greatest coach of all time.
Who wins this game?
I think the Eagles win by three. I think it'll be a high-scoring game. I think Saquon will get close to 100. I think he'll have the rushes. I think the yards are kind of going to be the ones that he's going to continue to pound and get. But I just think it's going to come down to two defensive plays.
Yeah.
Two defensive plays that change the game. If it's a forced fumble, if it's an interception that runs down to the five or whatever, or pick six, it's going to be something to that effect that's going to change the game.
The last thing I'll ask you, Donovan McNabb, just, you know, obviously when T.O. came back for that Super Bowl, and I'm not comparing it directly to what Brandon Graham is doing, but how much of an emotional lift does that just provide to the team when you get a guy like Brandon Graham coming on back and this potentially being his last game?
I don't know. Because his defense has been playing great.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't say in his absence.
Carter, Nolan Smith.
Yeah, they've been playing great. Where
Vaughn's been a stud.
Where I think for the Philadelphia Eagles, now they know what they have in Nolan. Now they know what they have in their, really, I mean, to be honest with you, they know what they have now in their whole Georgia front. Like, the question with Davis was he ever in shape, or will he be the force to stop the run? Like, he's now getting pressure up the middle in the passing game. Like, you know, with their depth now. So, I just think with where they are right now with Brandon, it's just another added dimension that they can utilize. I don't think he'll be out there for 40 plays. I think he'll be more of a 15-play passing situation guy come off. And he could change the course of the game. He could.
Always good to see you, number five.
Always.
We appreciate it.
Gotta love it, baby.
There you go. Donovan McNabb joining us on Radio Row. It is a Zach Gelb show from New Orleans. We've got about 50 minutes left in the extravaganza on our final Football Friday in this season. And it's football season, and Uber Eats has the best deals on game day food. No matter what you are craving, Uber Eats, official on-demand delivery partner of the NFL. Make sure you order now. All righty, still to come on the show, we got one more guest for you, and that's going to be Will Anderson Jr. of the Houston Texans. Good stuff right there a few moments ago with number five in Donovan McNabb. And from his perspective, I thought the three things that really stood out to me there, the Eli Manning conversation with the Hall of Fame. I don't think it's crazy. I'm not incredulous that Eli Manning didn't get in on his first try. Will he eventually get in? Absolutely. I don't love this, you're either a first ballot or you're not. Like, to me, you're either Hall of Fame or you're not. But sometimes you got to make the case. And Eli's numbers for a first ballot Hall of Famer are not usually what you would anticipate. And that's why I don't think he got in. And if Eli didn't win a Super Bowl, I don't know if he gets in. Because you look at Philip Rivers, you know, I think Philip Rivers will eventually get in, but it's going to take him a long time. Eli will get in, I would say, within 3 years. And this was number one, didn't happen. I think either two or three, he'll get in as you look at the Super Bowls, winning two, and the Super Bowl MVPs. Now, he'll be a Hall of Famer. But I like McNabb, I thought the way that he said, now he thinks he's better than Eli, that's his opinion. But in terms of the last name being Manning, and also when you look at the regular season not being ever, you know, viewed as an elite quarterback, that's not usually what you see at a first ballot Hall of Famer. So I'm not going nuts over Eli Manning not getting in. The Jalen Hurts conversation, it's so funny talking to Donovan McNabb, because when Donovan McNabb played for the Eagles, he never really had great weapons. Sure, Brian Westbrook was good. Terrell Owens was the one exception, but they ended up killing it one another. But for the most part, those weapons weren't satisfactory in Philadelphia. And people still got on Donovan for not winning the big game. But now it's Jalen Hurts, oh, he has too many weapons. And then the Andy Reid conversation, that's why I brought it up to him, because I'm just fascinated by it. And I think I'm in the minority here, because I think Philadelphia Eagles fans will always love Andy Reid. But in terms of if they beat the Eagles twice in the big game, you know, what is being said in Philly about Andy Reid? Because Andy Reid is a beloved Eagles coach. Now, Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl. Nick Sirianni has a chance. You know, we haven't really talked about Nick this week. We all talk about, too, the moment for Jalen Hurts to get that respect. How about Sirianni? If Sirianni gets the job done here, he's been to two Super Bowls. You start talking about who's the greatest Eagles coach of all time. You know, in terms of wins, it's Andy. But Doug won a Super Bowl. And if you look at Nick, what he's been able to do since coming in, wild card round, Super Bowl appearance. You lose last year after the 10-1 start, which was just terrible. And now you're in a Super Bowl. He goes wins the Super Bowl championship for a guy that we all thought was not a good hire. Whew. It's tough to really beat those 4 years when you look at it. You know, if you just don't do it in the Andy Reid scale and what Andy's done in Kansas City. But I wonder if Philadelphia starts to turn against Andy just a little bit. But, you know, when you lose two Super Bowls, they do lose two Super Bowls. So it's just something that crossed my mind in terms of the human emotion of it. All right, let's take a timeout. We'll come on back. We still got predictions to get to. We'll do that at 5:40 p.m. Eastern time. We'll get a prediction from Stu. We'll get a prediction from Samter. We will get a prediction from Nico Koudouvidis Iamaliava-Skarlatos, who is back in our New York City headquarters. And you also get a prediction for me live on Radio Row.
This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, welcome back inside Radio Row. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We are here in New Orleans. And you could have all the gumbo, the crawfish, the jambalaya, all this stuff. It's alligator. It's crazy. But the key to my heart is really just peanut butter. And Will Anderson from the Houston Texans is here on behalf of Jif. Will, appreciate it. How you been?
I've been good. Thank you for having me.
You know, when you go through all this food this entire week in New Orleans, man, like, used to drinking, right? You get hungover. Now it's just the food. The next day you wake up and I just feel gross this week, and just to get something simple like some Jif is just very, very nice.
It is. It's great. It's so crazy because growing up, this is all I used to eat. My coach was like, you got to put this in your shakes. You got to get bigger. So to have a partnership then with them is special. It's just crazy because they was telling me a stat that, like, you know, over 1 billion people eat wings on the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so I'm partnering up with Jif to save the celery. So we're going to get some celery and some peanut butter on the Super Bowl and make some people eat some of this stuff.
And you're also saving people from a lot of bad takes when it comes to wings because I feel like you're a ranch guy.
I am, but.
See, bad take.
But when it comes down to it, I'm really a blue cheese guy.
Good. You should be. Ranch sucks.
I love blue cheese.
Be a blue cheese guy.
I am.
And if you're going to have ranch with your wings, you better eat Jif instead because you're wasting your time eating the wings. So for you guys this season, it ended up against Kansas City,
yeah,
and everyone's having a problem beating them. We'll see if it will change for the Eagles. I don't think you guys lost the game because of the officiating, to be clear. But, and I'm sure you feel this way as well, I have no clue how to hit the quarterback anymore.
Yeah, man, it's just something that, you know, you have to take into consideration when you're practicing it all weekend. You know, just making sure that you're hitting them right and being disciplined. And we knew what it was going into the game, just as far as, you know, what was the statement after the game was just basically saying, like, we know, like, if you do something outside the rules, it's going to get called. And we have to be disciplined enough and be sound enough and be detailed enough to not put ourselves in those positions for those calls to happen. And, you know, we owned up to that after the game. You know, people want to, you know, do the clickbait and stuff like that, but it wasn't on the officiating. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to lock in. We have to be more mentally sound. We made some errors out there. We made some mistakes that cost them, you know, big explosives that they got towards the end of the game, and we can't have that. You know what I'm saying? So going into this offseason, that's one thing, like, during OTAs that we really want to focus on, especially just being a captain and being a leader on the team. Like, how mentally sound can we be locked in on these big-time games?
But you know, here's the thing. What you did in that game, I would not have called it a penalty. I don't think it's a penalty.
Yeah.
But I see it so often now get called that it's almost normalized. I was more annoyed when Pat was running and you had the two defenders crash down and hit each other.
Yeah.
Not even him.
Yeah.
Flag in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, a little adversity. You know what I'm saying? Control what you can control, man. And like I said, even after that, how are we going back out there and attacking after the penalty? You know, coach always saying it doesn't matter where they line the ball up at. We just have to go out there and play. And those are the areas that I feel like we should get sharper on as a team that I want to take the next step as. Just being a leader, like, it doesn't matter how we go on the field. It doesn't matter what call we get. How are we going to continue to be locked in and play ball?
How do you look back at this season? Because people thought when coming down to taking the next step, people thought you guys could go from – divisional round last year to this year maybe being a dark horse Super Bowl contender, and unfortunately you guys didn't get out of the divisional round.
Yeah, it's a process, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're a young team. We're still learning. We're just getting more experienced guys in the building, man, to just help some of these younger guys, you know, understand the mindset of getting, you know, past that round. You know what I'm saying? And we have to enjoy that process. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to get there. I'm confident that we're going to get there, man, but we just got to keep doing the little things right. We got to keep trusting each other, keep building the team chemistry, keep building the culture there. I think we have everybody in the right place, right coaching staff, right players in the building, nutrition, athletic trainers, all that good stuff upstairs. You know, the management upstairs is great. So, like I said, it's a process. We just have to keep building on that process and enjoying our process, and the results are going to be nice.
So, I said this to you when you were a rookie. You don't sound like a rookie, and now, obviously, you just wrapped up your second season, which is already crazy how quickly it goes by, but still, there has to be a little bit of an awe factor and obviously a respect factor when you guys get a veteran and someone so accomplished like Danielle Hunter. Yeah. What were you guys, because I'm sure you challenged one another, right? Healthy competition, all that stuff, same side of the ball, and obviously the same team. But what did he really teach you this year?
Man, he taught me so much this year, man. And it's really just when it just come to mindset. You know what I'm saying? He has this cool, calm, and collective mindset about himself, and it rubbed off on me so much because sometimes I can just be a little anxious about things and want to be like, I want it right now, I want it right now. He's like, man, you just got to keep chopping. You just got to keep going. It's going to come. So from that aspect off the field, that's something he taught me. And then just on the field with pass rush, just more – play chess with them, like switch it up. Like, and now you're gonna have them thinking, like, you can go speed to power, you can take an inside move, get him to move his feet. So, like, just learning different things about tackles and, you know, making them play your game, not playing their game. You know what I'm saying? So, that's one thing that I could take from Danielle that he really does a really good job of, like, really honing in on how he's gonna rush people and how he's gonna get to the quarterback.
CJ Stroud is what as a quarterback, Will Anderson Jr.?
The greatest. He's
really?
The greatest.
The greatest.
The greatest. I have all my, like, we have all the faith in CJ. I have all the faith in CJ, man. He's a young guy. Look what he's doing. He's helped turn this program around tremendously. And, you know, with all the expectation, and he should be this, he should be that, man, he's right where he needs to be. And we're going to continue to be behind him. He's going to continue to grow. He's going to continue to be a captain and lead this team. And we're going to do special stuff. And I can't wait to see him continue to do what he does best.
The culture of the Texans, and this obviously predates you, but it was in a terrible spot. That as a franchise, right, they were ones that we'd be talking about and kind of laughing at them. And to see what you, CJ, and then D'Amico, and also you got to give credit in the building process to your GM as well, what you guys have been able to do, that group of four really being the main faces of it, CJ the best offensive player, you the face of the defense, and then with Nick and also D'Amico has been really impressive. Now it feels as if it's such a great environment. You were around Saban, right? Yeah. He was your coach at Alabama. That was the standard.
Most definitely.
Speak to what the standard is and kind of the culture is now in the Texans locker room, since you only know it in a good spot the last 2 years.
Yeah, I have to give all credit to D'Amico. Of course, Nick, for bringing the guys in. But, you know, D'Amico set a foundation when he got there of what he wanted the Texans to be about and what he wanted his team to be about. And you have to have that in order to, you know, achieve and be an excellent team. And his standard was like, we want to have a swarm mentality. Like, our brand of football is physical. Our brand of football is swarm, relentless, dominate, execution, all those things. And so that's the thing that we fall back on when things are not going our way. Who are we when things are not going our way? And we're a swarm team. And I think once he got that culture input and start finding the guys to surround that culture and adapt the culture, you know what I'm saying? That's when it really took off. So I feel like D'Amico, he really knows how to be a good coach, but he also knows how to get the best out of his players.
I still think someone like Bill Belichick can be a great coach in this league, but you see now a new mold of coach where it's very successful, former player that could be a player's coach, but the good ones aren't a doormat.
Yeah.
And obviously D'Amico Ryans would be the farthest thing from a doormat, but having someone that is really not that far removed from playing and that understands his players and maybe understands when someone needs a day off or they don't need to go so hard at practice and things like that. What does that do with him really leading the way?
It does everything for us, and I think that's why it's so easy to play for him, and I think that's why guys love playing for him, because he approaches us in a sense of like how he played, like a team captain almost in a sense. And that energy that he brings, that contagious energy, like that fired up energy, is like he's going to go out there and go to war with us. You know what I'm saying? And I think guys feed off of that a lot, and we cherish that because, you know, not a lot of coaches do that. And so for him to be like really hands-on with us, you know, he'll talk some smack here and there. You know what I'm saying? He'll walk around, see what's going on. He come in the D-line room, bring some juice in there. We already be juiced up, but he'll just try to see what the temperature like and like stuff like that. Like, that means a lot when you see a coach who's actually want to be involved than what the players are doing, you know what I'm saying, within the building. So, you know, I think if, like, I honestly think, like, that's what separates him from a lot of coaches, you know, just having that player-like mindset and know how I know my players, how to get through my players and get the best out of my players.
We're now a full year out with Nick Saban no longer coaching. Do you believe he's actually done? Here's my take. I never think he's going to go back to coaching college. If he was to return, I think it would be the NFL, but I still think he's going to enjoy talking it up on ESPN.
I think he's going to enjoy talking it up on ESPN. I think he – I don't know. You never know with him. You never know. He loves it so much, and he's such a genius coach that he knows so much about ball, but you just never know with him. He always has a trick up his sleeve.
What about Kalen DeBoer? What do you think Alabama has in their new head football coach?
I think they have a very smart, young head coach, man. I think he's going to do a really good job, continue to do a really good job. He's in a perfect scenario, great friends, great atmosphere, great place, great people down there. And I can't wait to keep them see what they keep doing and keep rolling.
I thought one of the feel-good stories this year of the NFL was Bryce Young, because Bryce, year one, was a disaster. Yep. And then early on in year two, yep, he got benched, and I go, oh, that career is over, mm-hmm, just with that team, and he'll go somewhere else, and we'll see if he could have success.
Yeah.
The way that he found success this year, I know you and Bryce are oh so close, but, man, I know you're focused on your own stuff, but that had to be fun to watch.
That's my dog, man. Like, I tell people, like, all the time, like, it's no surprise for me. Like, Bryce is one of the most calm, chill, like, guys I've known when it just come to, like, of course, off the field, but on the field, like, his confidence is so big, nothing shakes him. You know what I'm saying? So, like, all that stuff that he had to endure, he was built for it. He knew what it was. You know what I'm saying? So, he knew, like, he know the type of player that he is. And to see him to go, continue to go out and rock and be him and be that leader and lead that offense and lead that team, he's going to do such a, like, amazing things in his career. And I can't wait to keep seeing him ball.
Will Anderson Jr. here with us. So, when you guys played the Chiefs, I thought at halftime, with the way that you guys played, the score should have been different. Unfortunately, your offense just either didn't have it that day, or the Chiefs' defense is also really damn good. It's probably a mixture of both.
Yeah.
When you look at the Eagles, I think they could do a lot of things similarly to what your defense did up against the Chiefs, and they obviously have the offense. How do you kind of look at this game?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I was doing another interview the other day, and I was telling them, like, when I watch big games like this, or I watch games in general, I don't watch the whole game. I literally just watch up front.
Yeah.
I watch the trenches, D-line and O-line. And I think it's going to be a really great game up front. I know all those guys on Georgia. Watched them when they was at Georgia.
Jalen Carter,
Nolan Smith, all those guys. And they gelled really well together and played really well on that level and this level. And it's going to be their physical front. They knock people back. They get off blocks. They can get to the quarterback. They're cause havoc in the run game. So I'm really excited to see that matchup up front.
Now, I don't think you fear anybody. You have a lot of confidence, and you do so in a humble way. But when you're going up against Mahomes, does he just keep you up late at night when you prepare for him? Because, you know, even if you do have the lead, no lead is safe up against him.
Yeah, I think it's the NFL. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what you're going into. I have a ton of respect for Pat. He's a great player, one of the greatest to do it. He's continued to find a way to win, and that's what you have to do in this league, and that's what makes him so special. And, you know, I approach every game the same. You know what I'm saying? Like, I stay up late all the time, you know what I'm saying, because I'm just that passionate about it. And, you know what I'm saying, I wish him all the best and everything that he does, and it's going to be some good battles here to come.
Who are the top five quarterbacks in the NFL, in your opinion?
Top five quarterbacks. They're all great quarterbacks in this league, man. They are great.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. Offensive linemen. You don't have to give me top five. Who are some offensive linemen so far in this league that really stand out to you?
Penei Sewell from
Detroit.
He's really good. Zach Tom from Green Bay, he's really good. Of course, LT, you go against the best every day, Laramie Tunsil. What's the dude from the Vikings?
Darisaw?
Yeah. He's really good. I like him. I like going against him. It was a good challenge.
You can probably get some good smack talk, right?
He's good. He was quiet, but he's a good player. Those are some of the guys that, you know, I respect. I mean, I respect all the guys, but those are some of the guys I respect.
So last thing I'll ask you, obviously, Will Anderson Jr. here on behalf of Jeff, when you look at the Texans, for people saying, all right, maybe they're just good, they're not great, why can you guys become a great team?
Yeah, I really feel like it has nothing to do with anybody else. It's all about our expectation. Our expectation is going to be higher in the building than anybody else's expectation. Man, so we just have to keep doing us and doing us better. It doesn't matter who thinks we're great or not. We know who we are. We know who the guys we have in the locker room. I think we're a special group, and we just have to continue to gel together and be a really great team.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
All righty, there he is, Will Anderson Jr. joining us on Radio Row, and that's the last guest for what's been a crazy week of shows, and obviously all the great guests that we did get here in New Orleans. I'll tell you, you know, let me ask you this, Samter. highlight of the week, in your opinion? Guest of the week. Who was it?
Are we talking about the best guest or the highlight of the week?
You can do whatever you want in terms of answering that question.
The easy answer would be Mr. Warren Sapp because of what he did and how he acted.
Me and you have a handshake.
But because he was such a jerk.
Big fella didn't get enough beignets.
Because he was such a jerk to me before the interview and he was a jerk to you for walking out of the interview, I don't want to give Mr. Sapp the benefit of being the winner.
See, this is the... I love what Warren Sapp did.
No.
It made me look great.
Yes. Because, yes. But it was disrespectful, and he was disrespectful to me before the interview. So, therefore, he doesn't deserve it. For me, I think the highlight was Myles Garrett.
That was pretty cool.
You know, him making the biggest news in the NFL outside of, obviously, Luka getting traded. The biggest news in the NFL was Myles Garrett, and for him to come on the row... and talk about it,
the row,
and deal with it, and talk about it, and be in front of it. He was very honest with all of his answers. He didn't hold back. He didn't shy away. I thought that was awesome.
Okay, I have 5 moments here. You know what? I'm gonna give an honorable shout out to Emmett Smith. Doing tequila shots with him was very fun. But in at number 5, I am gonna go with DeMar Hamlin and Teddy Bruschi, but DeMar Hamlin sharing with us, he said it was the first time that he shared it, which was the first time he knew that he was going to come back and play football. I thought that was pretty cool. 4, Kayvon Thibodeau. Whenever you're a player and you sit down and you just say, F the Cowboys, and he said it the way that I can't say it on the radio without having Nico run around and have to dump something. I, there's always that like nervous laugh because, and I had it where it was just so funny that he said it because I'm like, oh, you can't say that on the radio, but it's fine for the social media. But then our listening audience on the radio just doesn't hear about like 7 or 8 seconds of the show. So that's fine. But that was a very good moment. 3, there was a real buzz when Paige Spiranek joined us.
Oh, how did I forget that?
A real buzz.
Can I change my answer?
And also, there were people that we work with that I'm like, where have you been all week? That just popped out of the woodworks to join us when Paige Spiranek was on the show.
I will say this. The stream loved her too.
Yes. Yes. No doubt about that. 2, Myles Garrett. I was talking to someone else from another network today. And they asked me at the Myles Garrett interview. And they go, did you go into that knowing you were going to ask him what his favorite wing sauce was, like, or blue cheese or ranch? And I go, no. I go, that's what I just always do. I didn't prep really. Oh, let me ask Myles Garrett. I gotcha. We were just talking about what he's doing Super Bowl food spread wise. And I ended up asking blue cheese or ranch and then basically throwing out that he's going to be a Buffalo Bill. But the crowd that was around us when we asked him about the Eagles too and how we didn't even end the conversation and that was already all over the internet was pretty cool. And the number one was Warren Sapp. And I will get my high five one day from Warren Sapp, who took his football, and he ran away, and he cried like a little baby, Warren Sapp. Wah! Warren, wah! Like, give me a break. Over the dumbest thing, too. Abdul Carter. Me praising Abdul Carter. Now, one of these sites that are right up, supposedly Micah and Warren have beef where Warren just doesn't like Micah. I think for something after the Green Bay playoff game, he went after him or something like that. But Warren Sapp, Micah Parsons, I said first off, he has like 15 sacks a year. And a guy gets 12, 13, 14 sacks a year. He's 52 and a half sacks over 4 years. So this idea that Warren Sapp wanted to cry like a little baby and storm off the set, probably go stuff his face with a beignet. You know, give me a break. Give me a break. What a joke. But hey. For some reason, that's not 3 people that have done that to us.
What's the better, pettier beef?
No, stop.
Warren Sapp.
Or Devo?
No. Oh. Warren Sapp against Micah or Micah against TJ Watt?
Oh.
The pettier pass rushing beef.
So Micah was weird about it, I thought, because he just won't say he's a top 5 pure pass rusher, and then it's just verbal diarrhea when he tries to explain it. Like, complete verbal diarrhea.
At least this year he gave some other answer, though. He put Neil Hunter in there. He put Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah,
those two guys weren't there.
He struggled to get to 5.
Yeah.
But also, he then would go on to say, Yeah, he's one of the five best defensive players in the league. Like, sometimes, and Mike is going to learn this, you're just going to take some L's in this business. And that's your L moment. Just take it. And it's definitely personal. The Warren Sapp, though, just hating him. You know what? Yeah, that's more petty. Because at least Mike has said something nice about him eventually, even though the top five claim is crazy.
It took him a year. Six million views later.
You would think Micah Parsons was Vernon Golston. If you ask Warren Sapp. Vernon Golston.
Why you gotta bring up Vernon Golston? How about Mike Mamula? Let's go that
way. No, because Vernon Golston was like the first guy that I really wanted the Patriots to draft, and the Jets took him before.
You're welcome.
Yes.
You're welcome.
So those are some highlights from the week.
This is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Oh my God, we're back.
So real
again.
Quickly, I was just reading something before we got to our Super Bowl picks. Jake Glazer believes that Russell Wilson will not be back with the Steelers. And then Diana Rossini was on with Colin Cowherd and basically said the same thing. So I guess the Steelers, you go Justin Fields, or are they going to try to move up in the draft? Because I think only Shador Sanders or Cam Ward would be worth the first-round pick. But after that, is there someone later you're really going to do that again? Probably not. That makes no sense to me. You know, the Steelers are just so stuck. And I guess I'd rather have Fields than Russell Wilson, but I'm going to say that Russ ends up going to the Raiders. So that's that. By the way, it's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You can submit a question by tweeting at INFSportsNet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, let's get to some Super Bowl predictions. Ack goes 31-27. Stu is back in the shop, so his microphone's not working right now. He takes the Chiefs. Stu takes the Chiefs. 27-21. Nico, what's your Super Bowl pick?
Well, unlike Stu, I don't think I could take my bias out of it, so I am also going to go the Chiefs. And how about a little scorigami? Give me 32-22 Kansas City.
32-22 Kansas City. I didn't get the point about the bias part with you.
Well, Stu was picking the Chiefs, which is to go, he's taking the bias out of it.
Oh, okay.
As a Giants fan, I am not taking the bias out of it.
Oh, because you just hate the Eagles?
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, so go beat someone, all right? Be like a relevant team again. This is enough from the Giants. I love Giant fans. My dad's a Giant fan, but enough with the Giant fans. You know, basically like pretending to be some victim here. And it's like it's just sickening this week. You know, your team's not here. Like, is it really going to pain you if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, Nico?
Yeah, especially with Saquon being the leader of the charge.
Oh, by the way, who's your Super Bowl MVP?
I'll go Patrick Mahomes. I know that's basic, but if they win and score 32 points like I predict, he's probably going to have a big role in that.
Gotcha. All righty. Mr. Chief, Fugazi Chief fan, what do we got?
I think I'm going to surprise a lot of people right here with my pick.
You're taking the Eagles?
I am a fan of the Chiefs, but I'm also
a Jet fan. You've been a Jet fan your entire life.
I'm a diehard Chiefs fan. I don't know what you're talking about. And
Actually, you're not. Here's why. Mike Pinnell joined us after the Super Bowl last year and said you had to get a tramp stamp tattoo. And of the Chiefs, and you never did that.
Actually,
you want to reveal right
actually,
now?
Actually, well, you know, maybe after we win, I don't want to jinx it because it's been a good year so far. But I'm also an objective sports fan and producer.
Can we stop with this objectivity? Just make the freaking pick.
Well, I'm going to be objective.
Pick the Chiefs, just pick the
Chiefs.
Just
because I'm a Chiefs fan doesn't mean I'm going to pick the Chiefs. I'm an objective fan, going to look at this game, and it's been said that Eagles have better offensive line play. They have better defensive
line
play.
They're better 153.
Better on basically every part of this. So are we really just relying on Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to take over the game and do what they always do? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Let's go, Chiefs. Chiefs Kingdom. They only scored. Come on, let's go. Let's go, baby.
What's the pick, though?
So the Chiefs are clearly going to win this game. Now, they've only scored over 30 points once this entire season. That was last week against the Bills, 32 points. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say it's going to go under 30 points. I'm going to go 27-24. The Chiefs are going to pull it off. I think it's going to be a last-second comeback. Maybe they'll be down 24-20, and they're going to have to pull out a Patrick Mahomes, fourth-quarter comeback touchdown to win it all. Chiefs, baby, three-peat. Call the Chief Pete.
Crappy Lee Corso, pretty much.
Let's
right
go.
There. Walmart Lee Corso.
Let's go.
So Hickey texted me. This is not good. But maybe a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while.
Oh, please tell me he's going Eagles.
Hickey's taking the Eagles.
Yes!
28-20.
Yes.
I'm going to go 31-23, and I'm taking Philadelphia. I said I was only going to have one spite pick a year.
Mm.
And my spite pick was when I picked Notre Dame to win the championship of Ohio State. I knew that had no shot. This one, I actually think the Eagles are winning. I think this is a very similar team and a better team than the Super Bowl 52 team. I think the Philadelphia Eagles, they get the job done. And they win this Super Bowl 31-23. So the show predictions, Ack goes 31-27 Eagles. Hickey takes the Eagles 28-20. I take the Eagles 31-23. Stu goes with the Chiefs 27-21. Samter takes the Chiefs 27-24. Nico Scarlatos, Kudavitas, Yamaliava, he goes Kansas City 32-22. By the way,
who do you have as the MVP?
I'm going Jalen Hurts.
Okay, not Saquon.
Yeah, throw some respect on Jalen Hurts' name. It's Saquon's birthday, by the way, in the Super Bowl, if you haven't heard that storyline yet.
Do you think that would be the perfect way to end the Super Bowl, give him the MVP if he has a good game on his birthday?
Yeah, who cares? Right. I don't need that lovey-dovey storyline. But seriously, I want to thank everyone here on site, from Gary to JT and Bobby and Dan, and obviously we got
Frank.
I know all the names.
I know. I just was trying to help you along.
Do me a favor, and this has been a popular term as of late. Turn Samter's mic off, please. David Marinick, Ryan Hurley, Samter obviously here, Nico back in the shop, all the people on the tape op, Stu as well, and a big thanks to Cap, too. So fun week in New Orleans. I'll be back right here in New Orleans on Monday at WWL, where we're doing the show for the Super Bowl. But enjoy the Super Bowl, Chiefs and Eagles. I'm taking, once again, the Eagles by a final score of 31-23. Enjoy, everybody. We out. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Peace.